Boker Tov. We're on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph here in Masechet Brachot. The Mishnah discusses the latest time that a person can recite Shema at night. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer said until the end of the first watch. The Chachamim said until Chatzot, the middle of the night. Rabban Gamliel said until Amud HaShachar, until first light. So the Gemara on the bottom of Dalid Amud Aleph says, Chachamim keman sfir dehu. Who do the Chachamim really hold by? Ikir Rabbi Eliezer sfir dehu, leimru k'Rabbi Eliezer. The Ikir Rabban Gamliel sfir dehu, leimru k'Rabban Gamliel. The question is, the Chachamim who have this middle position of Chatzot, who do they really hold by? Do they really hold that the time, Rashi interprets this machloket as follows. We have the words, b'shochtecha uvkumecha, that we say Shema when we go to sleep and when we wake up. So b'shochtecha, how do they understand the word b'shochtecha? Does b'shochtecha mean the time that people are getting ready to go to bed? Which is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that people get ready to go to bed until the end of the first watch, let's say the first third of the night, till let's say it were 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Or does he really hold that b'shochtecha means the time that people are actually sleeping, which is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Excuse me, which is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. So the question is, who do they really follow? And if they do follow one of these opinions, they should tell us that they're following each of these two opinions, instead of just saying Chatzot, which seems like an artificial cutoff. So the answer is, Le'olam k'Rabban Gamliel sfer lehu. The answer is that they really do follow the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, that you could recite Shema until Amud HaShachar, the Haddeka Amri Ad Chatzot. So why do they say Ad Chatzot? Why do they create this artificial limitation? In order to prevent a person from sinning. Kidatanya, as we learn in the Braita, Chachamim asu siyag v'divrehem. The rabbis made sort of a fence around their words. Kidei shelo ye'adam b'amin ha'sadeh. In order not to have a situation where a person comes from the field, they come from their job, they come home from work, their long commute, ba'erev, the omer. And he says, elech le'beiti, I'll go to my house. V'ochel kima, v'eshte kima, I'll drink a little bit, I'll eat a little bit, v'ishan kima, I'll take a little nap. I'll doze off. And then I'll read Shema, and I'll daven. What's going to happen? He's going to end up falling asleep. And we find the person will end up sleeping the entire night and forget to recite Shema and forget to daven. In contrast, if a person comes back from work, goes straight to the Beit Knesset, if he's able to read from the Torah, he does some Torah learning. If he could learn some Gemara, he learns some Gemara. And then he reads Kriyat Shema, and then he eats his bread and he makes a bracha. So this is obviously the better option. But the idea that the reason the Chachamim pushed forward the time to Chatzot so that a person doesn't think they have more time later in the night to recite Shema, and this will prevent them from missing it altogether. And this writer concludes with a very strong statement that anyone who violates the words of the sages are chayav mita, are liable for death, the death penalty. Whether this is probably not meant to be taken literally, but the notion here is as follows, that when it comes to rabbinic rulings or rabbinic psak, rabbinic halachot, we tend to be a little more lazy or lenient about these things. Sometimes we cut corners. So therefore, the Chachamim are strengthening their words and saying, chayav mita, so that we don't take these things lightly. Rabbi Yonah explains that sometimes our motivation is different, that when it comes to Torah laws, if you don't follow something, it could be because it's either hard to keep or a person forgets, whatever it is. But a person who violates the laws of the sages, Divrei Chachamim, very often they're doing this out of zilzul. They're doing it out of because they're scorning or they're ridiculing or they're rebelling a little bit, and therefore we strengthen this particular category of mitzvot. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Maishna, there's a question on the rabbinic teaching on the Braita. Maishna b'choduch de lo katani chayav mita, or Maishna hachi de katani chayav mita. Why are we saying that you have to? You're chayav liable for the death penalty here specifically by Kriyat Shema and not by other rabbinic teachings. So we say, Ibaitema mishum di'ika ones shena. Okay, it could be because, one explanation is because they're really concerned you're going to fall asleep. So they wanted to, again, strengthen what they were saying so to prevent you from falling asleep and saying Shema later in the night. Ibaitema lasuga mimanda amar. Or it's coming as a response, mimanda amar, to those who would say, tzivat arvit reshut. There is a discussion later on in the Masechet. Is tefillat arvit, is it reshut or it's chova? Is it an obligation, an outright obligation, a chova? A reshut, meaning that it's if a person wants to daven, they have, it's optional. So you might think, a person might say, it's reshut, I don't really need to do it. Kamash malam, this teaching is coming to tell us, no, it's really important that you daven arvit, and that you say shema, which is connected to it, of course. And that's what this teaching is coming to teach us, that we hold by the position that it's chova. Next piece in the Gemara, we're going to talk about how important it is to connect the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael with the Amidah. We always say a bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and Shacharit and the Arvit, and we're going to talk about the relative importance of each of these times, Shacharit versus Arvit. So let's read. Amar Mar, Korei Kriyachma, Umit Palel. So beforehand we had a rabbi who said that one reads Kriyat Shema and then davens. Misaile le Rabbi Yochanan. This corroborates the position of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Ezehu ben olam haba, who is worthy of entering the world to come? Zeh hasomech geula litfila shel arvit. This is one who connects the bracha of geula, brachat Hashem ge'al Yisrael, to the amidah of arvit. And you say these two things in conjunction with each other. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that Shema precedes the Amidah at night, which is, of course, what we do. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, Omer tfilot be'emza. He says, Omer, tfilot be'emza tiknum. Tfilot were actually established be'emza tiknum. What does this mean? He looks at the broader picture, the macro picture. In the entire day, the first thing you have, at least in Shacharit, you have Shema. Then you have the Amidah of Shacharit. Then you have the Amidah of Mincha. Then you have the Amidah of Arvit, three Amidot in the middle, and then it's concluded, the coda, it ends with another Shema. So it is very sort of chiastic structure of Shmona Esrei sandwiched in between two Shemas. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Tfilot Be'emza Tiknum. So according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on a regular night that you daven Marv, you would say the Amidah, and then afterwards you would say the Shema. B'mai kami pagi, the Gemara asks, what is the basis for this dispute? What are they arguing about? Ibai de makra, ibai de masvara. Either one option is that they're arguing over the interpretation of a pasuk, or another interpretation is that they're arguing over the interpretation, or over logic, svara. Ibai, now it's going to go through each of these. Ibai de masvara, if they're arguing over svara, what does each one hold? Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Shema precedes the Amidah, savar geula me'orta nami heve. So Rabbi Yochanan, what we're talking about here is a discussion about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. When did the Jewish people really exit Mitzrayim? When was the true redemption? Was it at night, the night of the 14th, when they're sitting down having their Korban Pesach? Or was it in the morning when they actually literally left? So this is a debate here. Rabbi Yochanan says, the primary geula, the primary redemption was in the morning, at Gulia Malyata. In the morning. However, there was still an element of redemption at night. Meorta at night. And therefore, he believes that at night as well, we need to discuss the Ge'ula, Baruchat Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, which discusses the redemption from Egypt, in conjunction with the Amidah at night, just like we would do during the day. In contrast, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what's his logic? Because the primary redemption was in the morning. That's it. That's the only time that we have to connect geula to tefillah. This is the first option of how to understand the machloket. The second option for how to understand the machloket is v'ibaytei makra. Maybe they're arguing over pasuk. Ushnei mikra echad darshu. They're both interpreting the same pasuk, but they interpret it differently. Dichtiv, as it says, v'shochbecha uvkumecha, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Rabbi Yochanan, Sabar Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Shema precedes Arvit, so that we can connect the Geula, the Bracha of Geula, to the Amidah, Sabar Mekish Shchiva Lekima. We have a connection between Shchiva, when we go to sleep, and when we wake up. Ma Kima, Kriyat Shema, just like Kima at night is with, just like Kima in the morning, we have Kriyat Shema V'Achar Kach Tefila. Av Shchiva Nami, Kriyat Shema V'Achar Kach Tefila. It says we model the night tefillah after the morning. Kriyat Shema precedes the Amidah in the morning, so too at night. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says differently. Savar mekish shchiva lekima. We also connect this pasuk of shchiva tekima. Ma kima kriyat shema samuch limidato. Just like you have kriyat shema next to your bed, meaning when you wake up in the morning, the closest thing to go to waking up in the morning is Kriyat Shema. Af shchiva nami Kriyat Shema samochim b'tadav. So too, when you go to sleep, the Kriyat Shema is going to be closer to when you go to sleep, meaning it's after the Amida. Yes, and now we have a question. Meitiv Mara Bered Ravina. Mara Bered Ravina asks a question here. Be'erev mivarech shtayim lefaneh ushtayim achareh. At night, we know we're supposed to add, we have two brachot that precede Shema, Mahariv Aravim, Avat Olam, and then two that follow after the Amidah, after Shema, excuse me. One is Ge'al Yisrael, the other one is Hashkiveinu. V'yamart b'yad yismoch haloka samach ge'ula l'tfilah. And if you're saying you have to have a direct connection, a smicha, between these two things, you're not actually connecting them. You're saying Hashkiveinu, which breaks up the connection between Shema, the Gaal Yisrael, and the Amidah. So what's the answer? Amri, Kevan detakin Rabbanan Hashkiveinu, kigula arechta damya. Since the rabbis institute Hashkiveinu, it's like an extension of the notion of Geula. Okay, so we're saying it really is a part of the bracha of Geula, and therefore you still maintain the smicha Geula litfila. If you don't say this, so then you also have a problem in Shacharit. In Shacharit also, we actually do insert something in between Brachat Hashem Ga'al Yisrael and the Amidah. We insert Hashem's Fataiti Tachofi Agit Zadacha, which is not an integral part of the Amidah. That's just a tefillah that Hashem should open up our mouths so that we can daven. It's a tefillah for tefillah. This is also why the Chazan and Shacharit usually says Brachat Hashem Ga'al Yisrael in a low voice, so nobody answers Amen. This also explains why we knock on the Shtender on Rosh Chodesh when you have to insert Ya'alev Yavo or something else into the Amidah Al Anisim, so that we don't want to say anything. That would be a hefsek, but we can knock, and therefore it reminds people to insert certain things into the Amidah. Okay. So the ilo te mahachi shacharit hechim mati samich. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tichleu mer Hashem svatai titach levasofu mer yidratzonim reiti. So if we don't enable an extension of the notion of tefillah and geula, how do you have hashkiveinu, which is an extension of geula, or Hashem svatai titach, which we say is an extension of tefillah, and therefore this is permitted, and therefore it's not a problem. So too, just like Hashem svatai titach is an extension of tefillah, and it's not considered a break, so too, Hashkiveinu is an extension of Geula, and it's not considered a break. We now move to the next section of the Gemara, which discusses the recitation of Ashrei three times a day. It's important to understand that in the Gemara, Ashrei is not called Ashrei, because the first pasuk of Ashrei was inserted into the Sidur as part of the Perek of Tehillim, but it's not actually part of the Perek of Tehillim, which is called Tehillah LeDavid. It's the 145th parak of Tehillim. We know it as Ashrei. And Rabbi Lazar Amar of Avina, he says, Kol ha'omer Tehillah David b'chol'om shalosh pamim uftach lo shu'u ben ha'olam haba. He says, whoever recites Ashrei three times a day is ben ha'olam haba. What's the connection between this statement and the previous one? Again, we're talking about this notion of being a ben ha'olam haba, a person who merits to enter the next world. So what is unique about Ashrei? So my timer, what's unique about it? If you want to argue because Ashrei is according to the Aleph Bet, and therefore it's as if we're praising Hashem using the entirety of the Hebrew language, so then we could actually have another parak of Tehillim, which has the Aleph Bet eight times. This is parak of Tehillim, which is number Kuf Yud Tet, Kuf Yud Tet, and has the acrostic of the Hebrew language eight times. No, because Ashrei has a special pasuk, potech et yadecha, that God sustains all beings. So we say, wait a second, that pasuk is also found somewhere else, Neima Halel Hagadol. But why don't we just say Halel Hagadol? In which it says, Noten lecha mechol basar, the next words are, Ki liolam chasdo. So it also says that God gives food to all beings, so Ashrei is no better than this. The answer is, Ashrei has both of these qualities. Has both the Hebrew language and it has this pasuk of poteach et yadecha. We're now going to discuss this another aspect. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ibnei Malon emar nun ba'ashrei. So you'll notice that nun is missing from Ashrei. Okay, we skip. There's no pasuk for the nun. What's the answer? The Nun actually has a negative connotation, which connects to the fall of the Jewish people. The Ason Ei Yisrael is actually the Jewish people. As it says, there's a pasuk in Amos, Nafala Tosif Kum Bitulat Yisrael. The Jewish people have fallen, they won't get up again. So we don't want to mention Nun, it has a negative connotation. The Ma'arava in Israel, land of Israel, meaning west of the Talmud Bavli, Mitarti Lahachi, they interpreted as follows in a more positive sense. Naflav lotosif min pol, they fell, but they will not fall again, od, min pol od. Kum b'zalat Yisrael, get up, it's a charge to get up to the Jewish people, as opposed to a prophecy that they won't get up, it's a charge that they should get up. So that's another way to interpret this. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Afilu hachi, nonetheless, Chazer David v'samchan v'ruach HaKodesh, even then, David HaMelech still did add the Nun into Ashrei Shana Emar, as it says, Someh Hashem l'chol ha'noflim, that Hashem supports all those who have fallen. So Noflim Nun, so Nun does make its way into the Ashrei. Amar Rav Elazar bar Avinu, we have another teaching of Rav Elazar bar Avinu, Gadol Mashen Emar b'Michael, Yotem Mashen Emar b'Gabriel. We have different ministering angels in Judaism. One of them is Michael, one of them is Gabriel. And they're saying Michael is better than Gabriel. Why? Living Michael, Ketiba Michael, it says, Vayatelai Achad Min Asrafim. It said that Michael was able to, you know, fly from one place to another without any stops, without any changeovers, any change of flight. Ilu Gabi Gabriel, by Gabriel, it says Ketiv. Vayish Gabriel, Asheraiti Bachazon Vitchila, Mu'af Biyaf. Whereas Gabriel, it says, that he had to take two flights, mu'af bi'af. He took two flights. The double language of af is that he wasn't able to fly as far as Michael, so he's in a lower stratum than Michael. My mashma d'hai echad Michael. How do we know that this pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu is actually talking about Michael? So it's a connection in the pasukim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ati achad ketivah chavayat elai echad min asrafim. It says here, vayav elai echad min asrafim. Uchtiv hatam, and there it says in Sefer Daniel, v'nei Michael echad min asrafim harishonim bal azreini. So we see the similar language, echad asarim, echad min asrafim. So this is how we know it's Michael. Tana, we learn in a braita, Michael be'achat, Gabriel b'shtayim. Michael do everything in one flyover, Gabriel b'shtayim, Eliyahu ba'arba, Eliyahu takes four. We see he's on the same continuum of malachim, but it takes him longer to fly. Malach ha'mavet b'shmor, Malach ha'mavet is eight. V'shem magifat b'achat, but when he's, I guess, angry during a time of plague, it's one. And with this we conclude, Dalid Amud Bet, have a great day. Kol tov.